Torah Tesvov in Likutei Moran Chelek Aleph. We're up to paragraph Hey. In our Likutei Moran, it's page 46, the left-hand column, a little bit more than halfway down the page. As a review for the last year, and as an introduction to this year, I just want to read two short paragraphs from Kitzel Likutei Moran, where Rav Nosson Zal summarizes what we did in the past year and puts certain things sharper a little bit than we saw it last time in terms in the Likutei Moran. Rav Nosson Zal says, this is in the Kitzer Likutei Moran, not in our Likutei Moran, so I'm just going to read these two paragraphs. Mi sheroitze litoim tam oir hagonus, a person who wants to taste the hidden light. This refers to secrets of Torah or any aspect of Judaism that could be called the hidden light. Yirbe behispoidedus beinoy levein koinoy. Such a person should have a lot of hispoidedus, speak a lot to Hashem. V'yishpoit esatzmoy b'chol eis kol asokov umasov imkein roi v'hogan loy lasois. And the person should be judging themselves regularly as to whether they're doing the right thing. Is what I'm doing really what I should be doing? Ulehisnaig neged Hashem Yisborach im kach roi v'hogonoi lasois ulehisnaig neged Hashem Yisborach hagoyim el imoi toivois b'chol eis v'rega. Am I really doing the right thing towards Hashem, who's always doing good for me? Hashem is who is so kind to me and always doing good things to me. Am I behaving properly towards Hashem? V'yichalkel dvorov b'mishpot. And a person should see to it to attach mishpot to their words. Mishpot is this concept of judging yourself. Val hakoil yovoi b'mishpot imatzmoi. And regarding everything that the person does throughout the whole day, throughout the whole time, to judge themselves, to make a summary and judge whether they really feel they're doing properly. Uboze yosir me'olov kol abchodim. By doing this, a person will be zeicha to remove any fears that they have for anything. V'yinotzel meyiras hanafulois. And the person will be saved from any wrong types of fears. Hainu shelo yiro v'lo yifchat mishum sar v'odon v'chayiro v'listim v'lo mishum dover sheboilom rak me'ashem yisporach levad. The person will find that they'll get to a level where there's nothing that makes them afraid. They're not afraid of any general or any animal or anything whatsoever. All the different things that people are normally afraid of, this person will find that they're above it. That the only thing they're afraid of is Hashem. If a person is zeicha to do this mishpat, this hispoidedus. Uboze yale esayiro lisharosho hainu ladas. And this is considered elevating yira to its origin, which is das. V'yizke ladas sholem, and the personal bizeche to a perfect das, sheyeda mimi lehisyore, which means knowing whom to be afraid of. That's called shleimus hadas, when a person knows what to be afraid of in terms of Hashem. Hainu liyira es Hashem hanichbod levad yira soremimus, which means to only fear Hashem, the exalted Hashem. And once a person is zeicha to this, a person will be zeicha to Torah Shebeniglo, which is the concept of humbleness, and they'll be zeicha to tefillah with mesiras nefesh, which means davening to such an extent where a person eliminates themselves completely, as we're going to learn a little bit today. And through that, a person is zeicha to secrets of Torah. And all of this is started through hispoidedus. When a person has hispoidedus regularly, and a major part of their hispoidedus is devoted to judging ourselves, that's how a person is zeicha to attain all of these goals. That the fear is in the right place, and for the right being, and a person is zeicha to das, etc. Now the next paragraph, Rav Nosson Zal says, Ikar hadas hu belev. The main center for knowledge is in the heart. Now, a person would say that's not true. It sounds much more reasonable to say that it's in the head, in the brain. Rav Nosson Zal explains, Ki gam akum yesh lohem das. Goyim, lahavdil, they also have das, they also have a brain. achu b'loy lev. But their das is without a heart. Ach ikar hadas kishehu b'lev. When we talk about a Jew having sechel, we're talking about where the sechel is in the heart also. K'moy shekosuv, as the pasuk says, v'loy nosan Hashem lochem lev lo das. Hashem has not given you a heart to understand. What does this mean? Vishom b'lev mokoim hayira. And we know the heart is also the center for fears. We mentioned in the shiur we had last week, and many times, dover hamoser lelev nemar boi v'yareso, that the main concept, the main place inside of a person where fear is found is in the heart. Rav Nosson Zal explains, Hainu she'ikar hadas she'yeda es Hashem Yisborach b'liboy v'loy b'moichoy levad. When we talk about a Jew knowing about Hashem, that's only considered knowing when the das is not only in the brain, but the das is in the heart also. Hainu she'yamshich v'yekasher es hadas l'toich halev. This means where a person takes the fact that they know that there is a Hashem, the person isn't satisfied just with that alone, but they use their knowledge about Hashem to affect their heart. Ad she'tipoil olav emo v'fachad v'yira migdulosa yisborach. The person translates his knowledge of Hashem into true fear of Hashem. And it's that fear of Hashem that motivates him to do mitzvahs, to do positive mitzvahs, and it gives him the strength that he needs not to listen to whatever the Satan tells him to do, but to be able to break his taivis rois and midos rois, all the different things. Ad sheyisoyrer lo'avdoi be'emes, till the person is zeicha to really serve Hashem honestly. Ad sheyizke yira elyoino yira haroimimus sheyeda mimilis yore, until the person is zeicha to the highest level of knowledge, which is to know the greatness of Hashem to such an extent where a person is afraid of Hashem, not fear of punishment, but fear that comes from an understanding of how great Hashem really is. How is a person zoche to this again? Through his spoidedus. Al yidei sheshoifet es atzmoi biatzmoi. By the person judging themselves by themselves. Not waiting to be judged by Hashem or by my teachers or whoever it is, but a person sits in judgment on themselves constantly, seeing whether they're really measuring up to what they would want to be. And that's how a person is zeicha to the hidden light in religion, to secrets of Torah, to the true depth of religion. And Rav Nosson Zal adds, Ashrei hazeicha lozeh. Fortunate is the person who's zeicha to do this, to follow this advice regularly. This is pretty much a summary of what we've covered so far in this chapter on Likutei Moran, in terms of concepts. Rabbeinu Zal wanted to show us how a person is zeicha to the hidden light, to secrets of Torah, and Rabbeinu Zal spoke about mishpot, that's how a person avoids the wrong kind of yira, and zeicha to the right kind of yira, and when a person has the right kind of yira, it's important to translate that to das, and to connect all of these different things. Now we'll continue inside the Torah. Rabbeinu Zal is going to quote a story now from the Gemara and show how this story has in it all the different concepts that we learned about. V'zeh shomer Rabba Bar Bar Chana. The Gemara says in Baba Basra that Rabba Bar Bar Chana once said, L'didi chozili hahu akrukta. I once saw a certain frog. Dahavi ki akra dahagrunya. And this frog was as large as the city of Hagrunya. Va'akra de Hagrunya kamahavi, how large was that city? Shitin bati. It was a city made up of 60 houses. Oso tanina, a snake. You said it. Oso tanina, a snake came along, bolo, and swallowed this frog. This huge frog, a snake swallowed it. Osa pushkansa, a raven came. A raven is a certain type of a black bird. Ubolo letanino, and it swallowed the snake. Salik Yosef beilono, and then this raven went and flew up and sat on a branch of a tree. To chazi kamo nofish chelo deilono. Imagine how powerful that tree was. If a raven who was able to swallow a snake, who was able to swallow a frog that was as large as a city, if a raven like that was able to sit on a branch of that tree and the branch was able to support it, you could imagine how powerful that tree was. Omar Rav Papa Bar Shmuel, Rav Papa Bar Shmuel said, I lav da havi hosom, were it not for the fact that I was there, loy hemne, I would not have believed it. I couldn't imagine that there could be such a thing. But I was there and I saw it myself, so I know that there exists such a tree. Rashbam, on the side, on the left, akrukto tsvardeya, a frog. That's the Aramaic word for a frog. Ka'akro da hagrunya, godoil hoya, the frog was large, ka'oisoi krach, as the same as the size of that city. Va'akro da grunya kamahavi, how large was the city? Shitin bati, 60 houses. Talmudo komarlo, the Gemara is filling in that information. That's not Rabbi Bar Barchona talking. The Gemara is telling us that, by the way, you should know that this city was so large. Oso tanino, Rabbo komarlo. This is Rabbi Bar Barchona continuing to tell the story that a snake came along and swallowed the frog. Pushkanso, oirev nekevo. It's a female raven. Pushkanso is a female raven. Be'ilono al anaf echod. On one branch of the tree, this raven was able to stand. Kederech ha'oifois, the way birds usually do. They sit on a branch. Loi hemne, loi he'emanti. I wouldn't have been able to believe this, Rav Papa said, were it not for the fact that I saw it myself. Now Rabbi Nizal explains, akrukto, pirish rashi, it's actually supposed to be pirish rashbam, the rashbam says, tsvardeya, that this means a frog. V'ze b'chinas alias hayiro l'sharosho. This word frog is going to contain in it the whole concept that we spoke about in this Torah of elevating yira to its origin, which is das. Hainu das. Ki tzvardeya himilo murkevis. The word tzvardeya could actually be considered a word, a combination of two words. Tzipor, deo. Tzadik peiresh is tzipor, and deo is knowledge. As is brought in the Tonot Ve'elio Rabo, and in the Kavonos of the Arizal and Nagodo. The Arizal gives a Kabbalistic interpretation to show a connection between frogs, between the makah of tzvardeya that was in Mitzrayim, and the whole concept of a bird with knowledge. But for our purposes here, we see that there are places in the Torah where tzvardeya is used to mean two things, tzipor and deya. Rabbi Nizal now is going to show us how tzipor represents yira. If tzipor is yira and tzvardeya is tzipor deya, then the word tzvardeya is actually the connection between yira and das. Rabbi Nizal says now, v'tzipor hu b'chinas yira, b'chinas eretz, the word tzipor represents fear, because we learned earlier that Eretz was a concept of fear. There's a pasuk Eretz Yora. The land was filled with fear. So we see that Eretz represents fear. There's another pasuk that says, Miknaf ha'oretz zmiroi shamanu. From the corners of the earth, we heard singing. The word knaf means corners. The word knaf is also used to mean the wings of a bird. So we see miknaf eretz, there's a connection there between birds and eretz. If eretz represents yira, then this konaf, the bird, is also a symbol of yira, of fear. So we see that the word tzipor represents fear. That's one proof. Rabbi Nizal gives a second proof. Ukama shekosov, there's another posik that says, mi su moroim einechem urei ureu mi boro ele. I'm quoting outside now. There's a pasuk that says, lift up your eyes towards heaven and look to see who created all of this. It says, mi boro ele, who created all of this? Rabbi Nizal says, mi ele oisyois elokim. The word, the Zohar HaKadosh brings on that pasuk, that it says, ureu mi boro ele, see who created all of this. And the pasuk there doesn't go on to tell you who. It doesn't say Hashem did. That's all the pasuk says. The Zohar HaKadosh says that in these words is hidden the name of Hashem. Because the words me, who, Ele, all of this, who created all of this? The words mi Ele actually combine to form the word Elokim, that it's Hashem who created all of this. This is what the Zohar HaKadosh says on that pasuk. Now Rabbeinu Zal quotes a different pasuk, where the pasuk says, mi Ele ka'av te'ufeno. Who are these that fly like clouds? Now we know flying is something that's associated with birds. Note, mi Ele, we said, was Elikim. We learned earlier that Elikim is the name of Hashem that represents fear. Esho Elikim ani yore. Yosef HaTzadik said, I fear Hashem. Elikim is the name of Hashem that's related to fear. And we see Elikim is associated with flying things, with birds. Mi Ele ko'ov te'ufeno. Who are these that fly like clouds? Referring to flying as the symbol of birds. So we see that Tzipor represents Yira. Tzpardeo is Tzipordeo. Tzpardeo represents the concept of elevating Yira to Das, which is its Shoresh. Yediyo hi Shoresh HaYira. Rabbein Azal says, we learned earlier that Das is the foundation of fear. V'damyo la'akra da Hagrunya. The Gemara said that this frog was the size of the city of Hagrunya. The word Hagrunya is the name of a city. The word Goroin in Hebrew means the throat. Rabbein Azal says, Loshem kro begoroin. There's a pasuk in Navi that says, proclaim with your throat, cry out with your throat. Shezeh bechinas Torah shebenigla. That's the symbol of learning Gemara, learning Torah shebenigla. Because the Gemara says that when a Jew is learning Torah, how are they supposed to learn? K'moy shomer chazal, as the Gemara says, lemoitzoeim bepeh, that the Torah gives life to those that cry out its words. You're not supposed to be learning Torah with your eyes. When you're learning by yourself, you don't read Torah with your eyes, you read it with your mouth. You're supposed to mouth the words. So we see here that ahagrunya, which means the throat, is symbolic of this concept of learning Torah, which must be done with the throat. You must pronounce the words. Because we learned earlier that when a person is zeicha to elevate yira to das, the person is zeicha to Torah shebenigla, to the revealed Torah. Va'akra da'grunya kamahavi shitin bati. The Gemara said, how large was the city? It had 60 houses. It was the size of 60 houses. This concept of 60 houses, zebechinas tfila. That's the concept of davening. Because when we describe Hashem sometimes using words that relate to a human being, we talk about Yemin Hashem Pshuto Lekabel Shovim, Hashem's right hand is extended to welcome those that do tshuva, or other praises that we use to speak about Hashem that are similar, kavyochel, to the way we would describe a human being in a sense. Rabbein Azal says, when we do this, when we describe Hashem with adjectives that are normally used to describe people, v'hu nimtza lanu b'chol koreinu elov, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes himself available to us when we call out to him using these words, ze chesed Hashem yisporach. This is actually a tremendous kindness on the part of Hashem. Kiim lo yehoyo chazdei Hashem yisporach, because were it not for the kindness of Hashem, lo yehoyo kedai likro yulachano yisus Hashem yisporach b'taorim u'shvochem v'tevos v'isiyos. Hashem would not have allowed us the privilege of being allowed to call him by different, using different words, different letters, different adjectives. The whole concept of a person being allowed to put a name on Hashem or to describe Hashem is an unbelievable gift, because we know that Hashem tells us that there's no words in the vocabulary of human beings that could possibly describe Hashem. That's fact. So automatically, when I say Hashem is great, or when I say Hashem, you're so kind, please help me, the fact that Hashem allows me to use the word kind, that's actually a disrespect. To describe Hashem as kind is insulting compared to how kind Hashem really is. The word kind doesn't do justice to the incredible, to the infinite kindness of Hashem. And yet, Hashem granted Bi'am Yisrael the luxury of being allowed to use words to describe Hashem. We're allowed to speak to each other about Hashem, to learn about Hashem using these words, and we're allowed to speak to Hashem himself using these titles. When we say, when Moshe Rabbeinu was given permission to say the Yud Gimel Midah Shirachmim, and he was told that whenever you'll say these words, Hashem will be there for you. Anytime you'll be in an emergency situation and you'll say these words, Hashem will be right there. This is an incredible chesed on the part of Hashem. V'zeh shitin bati, that's the concept of these 60 houses, zebechinas chesed. 60 houses is the symbol of kindness in Torah. Why? Because bechinas Avraham, it's the concept of Avraham Avinu, who is the foundation of chesed in Judaism. Kemo shekoso, as the pasuk says in Shir Hashirim, shishim hema malochis, that there were 60 kings that came forth from Bnei Yisrael. Pirush Rashi, and Rashi Kodesh says, Ze Bechinas Avraham. This refers to the 60 descendants that came from Avraham Avinu. The Rashi over there lists the descendants of Yitzchok and Yishmael. That if you count the number of children that were born to the wives of Avraham Avinu, there were a total of 60 children. And those 60 represent the first kingdom of the Am Yisrael. The descendants of Avraham Avinu represent a malchus, a kingdom. So we see that Avraham Avinu, who is the symbol of kindness, he's represented by a concept of 60 of 60. Uboti, and this concept of 60 houses, why does the Gemara say 60 houses? Bote, loshen bote malchus. The term houses is used also to refer to kingdom. The Gemara says about Yocheved, the wife, the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Miriam, the sister of Moshe Rabbeinu, that because they feared Hashem, they did not listen to what Paroi instructed them to do. Paroi told them that all the male children that were born to Bnei Yisrael, to throw them in the river, and the girls to let them live. The Torah says, "Vatirena hamialdo isesolikim," that they were afraid of Hashem, and because they were afraid of Hashem, they didn't listen to him. So the Gemara says, as a result of that, it says that they made houses for them. They made houses to keep the kids in. The Gemara darshans that the reward for Yocheved and Miriam was that they were given houses. What kind of houses? Bote kahuna and bote malchus. That's what the Gemara says. They were given a house of priests, that Aaron HaKohen came from her, and also bote malchus, a kingdom, that came also from the children of Yocheved and Miriam. So we see that the term bati, houses, is used to refer to malchus. This shishim hema malochis, which is the symbol of Avraham Avinu, who's the symbol of chesed, this all represents this kindness of Hashem in allowing us to speak about him this way. V'zeh samchuni bo ashishis. Rabbi Nezal says, there's a pasuk in Shir Hashirim which says, samchuni bo ashishis. Kemoi shemesimim ashishus keneged oyer godol kedei lehistakel boer godol alideho ashishus. Ashishus means like a kind of a crystal glass that was used to be able to look at a very bright light. You can't look at it directly sometimes. So they use these reflectors, these crystal glasses, to reflect the light in a way that you were able to look at it. So the Pasuk says, Hashem says, Samchuni, the Jews have a connection with me through Ashishus, through this crystal glass. This means that just like when it comes to looking at a very bright light, in order to be able to look at it, you can't look at it directly, but rather you have to look at it through this Ashishus, Kain, Gozar, Chazdoi, Lismoi, Chaisono, Betor, Mushvoch, Meilu. So too, Hashem's kindness forced Hashem, in a sense, to allow us this privilege of being able to speak about Hashem using this indirect way, using words that don't really describe Hashem accurately, but it's the best we can do, it's the closest we can come to describing Hashem. V'zeh loshen samchuni. Note what the pasuk says, samchuni bo ashishus. Samchuni means they placed me. The word samchuni is also miloshin samach, 60. Shehu bechinas samach, ubechinas shishim heima malochais. The concept of 60 kings, which is the symbol of Avram Avinu, which is chesed, which represents this whole kindness on the part of Hashem, allowing us to daven to Him, allowing us to have a way of referring to Hashem in our tefillah. Otherwise, if you don't have a name, if you can't give something a name, there's no way to speak to it. Rabbein Azal says, "Ubechinas Avram, shubechinas Samach Bati." Avram Avinu is the concept of these 60 houses. Ve'osot Tanino Ubale. So we showed how the 60 houses represents tefillah. It represents the kindness of Hashem in allowing us this luxury of being able to describe Hashem using words. And we said a snake came along and swallowed the tzvardeya, swallowed this tefillah, this koyach ha-tefillah. Tanino zebechinas nochosh, shemesis esodom shiispale letoyeles atzmoi. The snake in this case refers to the soton, who tries to influence a person to daven only in a selfish way, only to be concerned about his own personal needs. Kemoy havlon chayo mezoino, give me life, give me food, give me this, give me that. A person coming to Hashem with that kind of attitude. Oishar toyeles, or other personal needs. In a sense, misusing tefillah. As we're going to see soon. We're going to see soon that Rabbein Azal here is discussing a much higher level of tefillah than a person simply asking for their own personal needs. V'osi pushkanso ubale. A raven came along and swallowed up the snake. Pirish Rashi, oirev. Oirev is the Hebrew word for pushkansa. V'om razal, the Gemara says, ne'eruvin, mi shemashchir ponov ko'oirev, u'mi shenase achzori al bonov ko'oirev. The Gemara says that who is zoiche to the true light of Torah? A person who's willing to suffer for Torah. A person who's willing to darken his face, to blacken his face for Torah. When a person stays up late at night and everything, his face becomes pale. It loses light. That's this hashchoras aponim. Where a person is willing to go through whatever suffering is needed for the sake of studying Torah, the Gemara says that person is zoiche to the true light of Torah. But note, comparing him to a raven, this black bird, mi shemashchir ponav koyrev, a person who darkens his face like a raven, umi shenase achzori al bonav koyrev, a person who's mean to his own kids like a raven. What does this mean? Rabbein Azal says, haynu shemispalel beli shum kavonas toyeles atzmoi. This means a person davening without being concerned with any of his own personal needs. Ve'enoy choyshev liklum es atzmoy. He considers himself nothing. He considers as if he doesn't exist at all when he's davening to Hashem. Ve'nizbatel kol atzmusoy ve'gashmiusoy. He nullifies completely his own existence. Ve'nizbatel kilu enoy bo'olam. And he makes himself as if he doesn't exist at all. Kamay shekosu, as the pasuk says, ki olecho hoyragnu kol hayoyim. Hashem, for you, we die all day. And the Zohar HaKadosh says this refers to tefillah with mesiras nefesh. Veze bechinas shchoyrois ko'orev. There's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim that says, black like the raven. Here, Rabbein Azal is talking about tzadikim, or certain people who are on a level where even though they know that one of the main benefits that a person can get from tefillah is that tefillah is a way of getting all of your needs taken care of by Hashem, through tefillah a person gets anything that they need for their own person, for their children, for the wife and family, for everybody. There are tzaddikim that understand that there's a higher purpose to tefillah. That if the Gemara says, kol ma shebora hakadosh baruch hu ba'olamoi, that everything that Hashem created in this world, He created only for His own kavod, then it means that I don't exist as an entity to myself. It's not that I exist and I have to eat breakfast, lunch, and supper, and I need clothes, and I need this. That's all baloney. It's like nothing. My only real purpose for existing is not to be able to eat supper, or not even to be able to study Torah. My real purpose of existing is lichvoidoi, in order to respect, in order that Hashem should receive kavod. We say in Uvolotzion, Baruch Elokeinu Shebronu lichvoidoi. Blessed is Hashem who created us for His honor. So that if I have a choice, in a sense, in tefillah, whether to ask Hashem to give me a delicious breakfast, or to ask Hashem to give me a better pair of shoes than the ones that I have, or I can say in Hashem that I feel bothered by the fact that I feel that Hashem's kavod is in a very low place, that kavyochel Hashem is being disgraced in this world by the fact that His nation is despised by all other nations, and by the fact that His Torah, His instructions, are not being respected, His will, His rotzon, is not being respected, and a person is mispalel for that. A person is mispalel for Hashem. Hashem, please help yourself. Please let us be zeicha that your honor should not be downtrodden, but rather it should be lifted up. Your kavod should be elevated, etc., etc. That's a certain higher form of tefillah that Rabbein Azal is talking about here. And Rabbein Azal says that's actually a form of mesiras nefesh, of killing yourself, in a sense. Because if I'm going to be davening for an hour, I could easily use that hour for myself to describe a list of 6,000 things, personal things that I know I need or I would like to have. Or I could say, for this hour, I'm going to make believe I'm dead. I'm going to kill myself. No, I'm going to kill the me completely and not be interested at all in that whole long list of things that I need, but rather concern myself only with what Hashem needs. The Torah describes what Hashem wants, what Hashem likes, what Hashem needs, kaviyochel. I'm going to concern myself with Hashem's needs and kill. Va'al yedei zeh. And by a person's doing this, blackening himself like a raven, in other words, killing himself in a sense, being achzori albonov, rather than daven, my kids need this, my kids need that, he in a sense makes all of that second place to what Hashem's needs are. Vaydezeh salik v'yosef b'ilona. Through that, the raven, we said that the raven went up, flew up on a branch of the tree. Rabbein Azal says, "Shezoicha lebchinas Torah shebenister." When a yid is zoicha to daven that kind of tefillah, when what concerns him is not himself, but he's concerned for Hashem, that's when the person is zoicha to secrets of Torah. K'may shekosov, as the pasuk says, "Yoshes choishech sisroi." Hashem places His hiddenness. Hashem hides Himself in darkness. Note, Hashem hiding Himself refers to the hidden part of Hashem, the secrets of Torah. That's where Hashem is hiding Himself. Where is that to be found? In darkness. In one who blackens Himself. He negates Himself. How is a person zeicha to secrets of Torah? By blackening himself, which means killing himself. Mesiras nefesh. Shemashchir ponov ko'irev. He blackens his face like a raven. In other words, he starves himself. When a person is very hungry, again, they become pale from fasting, where the light of the face leaves. We talk about a person who's feeling good and there's like a glow on their face, versus a person who's starving in tremendous need, where the face becomes pale, the light is missing. That's this concept of the raven. Rabbein Azal says, "Ki heim bechinas choishech," because secrets of Torah are referred to as darkness. Al shem oimek hamusog, referring to the great depth. When we talk about something that's very deep, when you look into a well, the deeper you look down into the well, you see black, you see darkness. Darkness is a sign of depth. One of the very spectacular chidushim that our Rebbe Zichron Avrocha once said in his Tikkuni Zohar Shirim here in Eretz Yisrael, he said that the Zohar Kodesh asks a question. We say in Shachris in the morning, Baruch Atah Hashem Alekeinu Melech Haolam, Yoytzer Oyer Uvoyrei Choshech, Oyse Shalom Uvoyrei Sakol. That Hashem creates light, Yoytzer Oyer, Uboirei Choshech, and He creates darkness, Oyse Shalom, He makes peace, Uvoyrei Sakol, and creates everything. The question is, we know that there's a rule in Torah always of Malin Bakoidesh, that the way that the Torah speaks is always you start from the bottom and work your way up. You always talk about the lower item first and then the higher item.
Over here it says Yotzer Oyer. Hashem creates light, Uboyre Choshech, and creates darkness. Shouldn't it be in reverse? Just like when Hashem created the world, which did He create first, darkness or light? Night. Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Voiker. First comes darkness, then comes light. Why don't we make the bracha that way? And we find, in fact, that the Zohar HaKadosh says that that statement, Yotzer, refers to the Olam HaYetzirah. The Olam HaYetzirah is called Oyer, light. That's the world of the angels. Uvoire, the Olam HaBriya, which refers to a world that's on a higher level, that's the world of the throne of Hashem, it's one level up, is called Choshech. Why? If Yetzirah is called Oyer, then Briya should be called triple Oyer. The Zohar HaKadosh answers that the word Choshech there doesn't mean darkness. The word Choshech there refers to a light that's so bright. When you look straight at the sun, what do you see? You see light? No, you see darkness. Your eyes become black. In other words, you become blinded in a sense from the light because it's so bright. The word Choshech over there is referring to a light that's so bright that when we look at it, it appears to be darkness because it's so deep, that concept of depth, this Oimek HaMusog, which is symbolized by Choshech, this Yoshes Choshech Sisroi. So that's where we see that it is actually going up. The word Choshech, as it's being used there, is used to refer to something that's above regular light. He said, Yehi Oyer. The first pasuk in the Chumash says, "V'ha'oretz hoysa soihu, v'vo, v'choshech al pnei sahom, v'ruach alukim rachefes al pnei amoyim." The next pasuk says, "V'yom alukim yihor." So first there was choshech for sure. In fact, interesting. Right now, this week we're going to have the Yontov of Chanukah beginning. Chanukah is to celebrate the victory against the Greeks. The Greeks were the third golus that the Jews experienced. The first exile was Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar, who destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash. That was called Golus Bavel. The second golus that the Jews experienced was Poras Umodai, Persia, when they took the Jews into exile. The third golus was Yavon, the Greeks. And the fourth one, the one that we're in now, is called Golus Roimi. It's brought, the Medrash brings, that second pasuk in Chumash, V'horetz hoysa soihu, v'voihu, v'choshech al pnei sahoim. Those are four words that represent similar concepts of emptiness, darkness. The Medrash says those four words correspond to these four exiles of Bnei Yisrael. Soihu zubovel, voihu is parasumodai, choshech is yavon. Choshech is yavon, and that's why the holiday where we celebrate our victory over Yavon is the holiday of lights, Chanukah. The whole concept of light, which is the opposite of Yavon. What were the Yavons? They were into intellect, big intellectuals. Their chachma is blackness. What they call light, what they perceive as being smart, is the dumbest of the dumb. To be able to ask questions about Hashem that'll convince you that there's no Hashem, that's not brains, that's stupidity. That's the greatest ignoramus in the world, is the person who can figure out a way of not believing that there's a creator. He can figure out a way of convincing himself that all of this came to being by itself. A wind blew one day and it created people and apes and monkeys and all the different things. So we see that Choshech sometimes represents a higher light, as in this case. Here, Rabbeinu Zal saying that how is a person zeichet the secrets of Torah? Al yidei shemachshich es atzmai, by taking himself out of the picture. When you have a picture, how do you read a picture? When there's enough light. When the picture is dark, you can't see what's in it. The person is out of that picture. If he's dark, you know, if you darken that part of the picture, not there. When a person in tefillah blackens himself, he takes himself out of the picture, and he concerns himself only with Hashem's needs, that's how a person is zochet the Sisrei Torah. V'zeh b'chinas salik v'yosef b'ilono. This is what it says over there in the Gemara, that the raven went up on a branch of the tree, sheshom modor haneshomois. This tree represents a very holy place. The tree is where the Zohar HaKadosh says the neshamos of the Jews are found, referring again to a very bright light. Kamoi shekosev, as the Zohar HaKadosh says, kol nishmosen me'ilon orav ravon afkin, that all the neshamos, all the souls of the Jews, come forth from a great tree.
So we see that this Ilon HaGodol, this great tree, represents a very spiritual place, a place from where the Neshamos come from, a place that's associated with secrets of Torah, that kind of item. And this tree also is the symbol of Olam Haba, which represents long life. As the pasuk says, "Kimei eitz yemei ami." Hashem says that the life of the Yidden will be like the life of a tree. So we see that the life of the tree here represents eternity, forever, representing the concept of Olam Haba, when the Yidden are going to be zeichet to a true, deep understanding of Hashem. And how is a person zeichet to this? Through tefillah. Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu misave l'tefiloson shel Yisrael. Because we know that the Gemara says that Hashem craves the tefillos of the Yidden. Hashem needs our tefillos. He desires it and needs it very much. Ukshi Yisrael mispalelem lefonov. And when the Yidden daven Hashem, umemalim ta'avosoi, and we satisfy Hashem's desire, we satisfy Hashem's need, kaviyochel in a sense, azai nase kaviyochel bebechinas isho. Then kaviyochel, Hashem becomes a concept of a woman, a concept of our wife. When we are giving to Hashem, when we are providing Hashem with something, that's like a husband being the provider for his wife. Kaviyochel, Hashem becomes the Isha. Shehu mekabel tainug me'imonu, whereby Hashem is receiving pleasure from us, from Bnei Yisrael. Kamo shekosu, as the pasuk says in Bamidbor, Ishei reyach nichoyach Lashem. It talks about a fire offering which gives off a very sweet aroma to Hashem, referring to the karbonos. The tefillos that we daven today are in place of the karbonos. Note, by the karbonos it says kaviyochel ishei reyach nichoyach, that as a result of this smell that we give to Hashem, this pleasure that we give to Hashem, kaviyochel Hashem becomes the isha. Hashem is on the receiving end. Al shem hareach nichoyach shemekabel nase bebechinas isha. Through this sweet smell and this tremendous pleasure that Hashem receives from us, kaviyochel Hashem becomes the isha. Unekevo tesoivev gever. And there's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu HaNavi that says there's going to come a time when the woman is going to go looking for the man. Nowadays, the Gemara says, darkoi shel ish lachzer acharisha. It's the man that runs after the woman, that goes looking for the woman. The Gemara says there's going to come a time when nekevo tesoivev gever. The women are going to be looking for the men in a higher sense. Shakadosh Baruch Hu nase bebechinas malbush nigla. Tesoivev also means to encircle. When I put on a coat or a jacket, the jacket is tesoivev me. It encircles me. It takes me around. So Rabbein Azal says, kaviyochel Hashem becomes a concept of a malbush nigla to that person. Hashem becomes revealed, visible to that person. Haynu mibechinas shehoya mitchila benistor. That which was originally hidden, that now becomes revealed through tefillah. This concept of nekeva to soivev gever, this nekeva kaviyoch, which was originally hidden, now it comes close enough where it's to soivev the gever. It clothes him. And this bechlal is a term that's used in religion, in terms of when a person takes something that's hidden and reveals it, the concept of revealed is that which becomes a malbush to the person. We know that Hashem and the Torah are one. So if we're talking about kaviyochel Hashem becoming a malbush, kaviyochel Hashem becoming ishe reach nichoyach, it means that the Torah becomes kaviyochel this ishe reach nichoyach. V'oz al yidei tefila nizgale oiraisa hainus isreiraisa. Therefore, through the tefila, through this kind of tefila, a person is zeichet to have that part of the Torah that's normally hidden revealed to him, which is the secrets of Torah. And the Gemara finished by saying, now try to imagine how great that tree is. Nofish chela, Hainu Sisrei Torah. When we talk about the awesome greatness of that tree, that refers to secrets of Torah. She'ein yecholin lehislabesh b'shum dovor mugbol. Nofish chela means how great, like infinite, in a sense. This is the symbol of secrets of Torah, which have no boundaries. It represents the infinite light of Hashem. B'shum guf. It cannot be contained in any body or in any tzimtzum. It could only be contained by one who blackens his face like a raven, and he's achzori, he acts like a raven to his own children. Meaning again, he ignores his own personal needs, even his family's needs. His only concern is Hashem, period. In this chapter on Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zalt's describing a certain level, a certain incredible high level of Kedusha of a person reaching. There are other chapters in Likutei Moran where Rabbeinu Zalt stresses the importance of davening for every single last one of your personal needs, begging Hashem every single day for every specific thing you need. And it's not a contradiction. Through this kind of tefillah, you're zeichet to certain things. Through this kind of tefillah, you're zeichet to other things. Person has to judge themselves and see what they're capable of. Person has to know what the options are that are available. Different styles of tefillah, different things to be mispalel for, and different things that a person can be zeichet to through tefillah.
Can you do both types at the same time?
I would think yes. Person's entitled to be mispal for their own needs at a certain point, let's say when they're feeling lower, and when the person feels a high, like even in middle of the tefillah, he starts feeling himself rising a little, and he starts feeling himself rising above simply concerning himself with below, with simple things, with mundane gashmias, and then he says, you know, Hashem, as I'm davening, I'm starting to feel a certain desire that these things which concerned me a few minutes ago I was feeling that I desperately need this and everything. Now, as I'm davening and I'm starting to feel a closeness to Hashem, the more a person starts feeling closer to Hashem, all the other stuff becomes silly, in a sense, compared to the incredible pleasure of being with Hashem, of being close to Hashem, of being zecha to partake in these secrets of Torah. And you see, the Zohar HaKadosh says that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal gave his Talmidim a shir once, for 3 days straight, secrets of Torah. And because it was secrets of Torah, they didn't need food, they didn't need drink, they weren't concerned whether it was hot in the room, cold in the room, nothing mattered. They left the body, in a sense. You know, the body went bye-bye, and total dovuk to Hashem. That kind of feeling that comes from this Sisrei Torah.
How does a person guard himself against a certain gaiva that one could experience where, you know, he's embarking on, in a sense, giving pleasure to Hashem now, and...
There's a few chapters in Likutei Moran where Rabbeinu Zal warns that tefillah is one of the things through which it's very easy for a person to get gaiva. Rabbeinu Zal says tefillah is malchus. Malchus is kovoid. David HaMelech said, Va'ani tefillah. David, who is the symbol of Melech, he said, I am tefillah. So Rabbeinu Zal says, through tefillah, a person rules. Tefillah gives a person control and that kind of thing, which means there definitely is sakona of gaiva. A person has to know that the only thing that could undo the effects of his tefillah is the gaiva. The most important critical ingredient in tefillah is anova. We said that the Shulchan Aruch says, in the name of the Arizal, that the Hakdoma to the Shemayin Esrei, the most important, in a sense, the most important two words that a Jew says before Shemayin Esrei in Shachris is, V'oizer dalim, v'oin elam Yisrael be'shava me'lov. V'oizer dalim, Hashem helps the dalim. Dalim, there's a few words in Hebrew that mean a pauper. Evyoin, oni, dal. Dal is like the poorest of the poor, the lowest of the low. So we say, the Arizal says, before we start Shemayin Esrei, we say that Hashem is oizer dalim, v'oin elamo Yisrael be'shava me'lov. He helps the lowest of the low, and he listens to the person's tefillos immediately when the person davens them. The Arizal says that when a person is saying those words, Va'oizer Dalim, he's supposed to picture himself. That, who am I? That's me. That's what I'm talking about. I'm the Dal. I'm the lowest of the low. Because the Gemara says, Ein Oni Ela Min Adas, that in Judaism, we don't measure poverty in dollars and cents. We measure it in brains. We measure it in frumkeit. And a person looks at themselves and says, I know how low I really am, and brings himself to a serious, humble place. That's the best introduction. That's the best way to go into the Shemayin Esrei. So that's, it's important.
But the Dal could be humble because he's the one receiving. But here, in this respect, the person is in the aspect of giving to Hashem. And how could a person not feel gaiva when he sees himself in that particular moment?
Question. Even when a person is doing, like let's say the Gemara says that when a Jew does a mitzvah, the Jew Hashem says, don't think you're so big. Because Hashem says, "Mi hegdimani v'ashalem loy." If anybody thinks they're giving me something, watch. You put up a mezuzah, big deal. I gave you a house. You gave me a little mezuzah, I gave you a whole house. You put on tzitzis, I gave you a whole set of tefillin. You know, and the Gemara gives mishalem like that. So that even when a person is doing something, in a sense, where they're giving to Hashem, who's it? The ability to be mispalel, where does that come from? We just learned over here, the fact that Hashem is gracious enough to allow us to use words, in a sense, which are insulting to Him, to allow us to use these terms about Hashem, chesed, these to'orim and shvuchim, that in itself is an incredible gift on the part of Hashem. So it seems that if a person is conscious of that alone, that could bring a person down. That the fact that I'm giving to Hashem, who gave me the present, when it comes to tzedakah, Hashem says, don't feel so big, because who gives you the money to give with? I give you 100%, I ask for 10 back. It's what's the expression in the Gemara? That a person doesn't give of his own, he gives from Hashem. That you're not giving of your own, you're giving me what's mine, Hashem says. That who gives me the ability to daven? When I feel an inspiration to daven, where is it coming from? I created it, chas v'shalom. That in itself is a gift from Hashem, that I feel aroused to daven, and that I'm able to get to a level where I feel unselfish. I feel, you know, good enough to want to daven kaviyochel for Hashem. Okay. Now Rabbi Nezal says, we'll just do the next paragraph. Now to summarize this chapter in Likutei Moharan, Rabbi Nezal shows us a mission in Pirkei Avos, which touches on the five main concepts we had in this Torah. V'zeh b'chinas, this is what the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, chamisha kinyonim shekona boilamoy, that there are five special things that Hashem acquired in this world, or created in this world. Koine shemayim voretz means boire shemayim voretz, Hashem who created heaven and earth. What are they? The Gemara says, Torah Kinyan Echod. Torah is one of the five major items that Hashem created. Sebechinas Torah Shebenikla. This represents one of the items that we mention in this chapter, which is Torah Shebenikla, the revealed Torah. Shomayim Va'oretz Kinyan Echod. The Gemara says, heaven and earth are another Kinyan of Hashem, where we find the word Koine used in a Pasuk about them. What are Shomayim and Oretz? Zebechinas Ho'olas Hayiro Lodas. Shomayim and Eretz represent the concept of elevating Yira to Das. Why? Eretz Zebechinas Yira Kanal. We learned earlier there's a pasuk in Tehillim that says Eretz Yira. So we see that Eretz is the symbol of Yira. Veshomayim Zebechinas Das. Shomayim is a concept of Das. Ki Das Hu Chibur. We know that the term Das means to unite two things. When the Torah wants to discuss the fact that Odom and Chava brought children into the world, it says they united. So we see Das is bringing two things together. The word Shomayim is actually two things brought together. Eish umayim mechuborim yachad. The Gemara says Shomayim is two things that are mechubar, fire and water combined, attached together. Avrohom kinyan echod. The Gemara says Avrohom is something where the pasuk uses the word kinyan about. Zebechinas tefila. We learned earlier that Avraham Avinu is the symbol of chesed, which means the symbol of tefillah, because the fact, Bechinas Shitin Bati, the 60 houses that we learned about earlier, Shishim Heima Malocha is Kanal, the whole concept of that the chesed of Hashem in allowing us to speak to Him, in allowing us to have a means of speaking about Hashem. Yisroel Kinyan Echod, finally the Gemara says that Yisroel are one of the Kinyonim of Hashem, Zebechinas Mishpot Hamales Hayiro Kanal. Yisroel represents the mishpat through which a person is zechet to be male yira tadas that we learned about all the way in the beginning. Kamoshikosov, as the pasuk says, chukov u'mishpotov li Yisrael. Mishpotov li Yisrael. So we see Yisrael is mishpat. Beis hamikdash kinyan echod, and the Beis hamikdash is one of the five kinyonim zebechinas sisrei oiraisa shezeichen lohem al yidei atfila. The Beis HaMikdosh is the concept of secrets of Torah, which a person is zeichet to through tefillah. Shehi bechinas Avraham. Tefillah is the concept of Avraham Avinu. V'zeh harzeh konso yaminoi. There's a pasuk that says, Kaviyochel, Hashem's right hand created the mountain. The right is always the symbol of chesed. Sheze yemin bechinas tefillah, bechinas Avraham. The right hand here represents chesed, Avraham Avinu, which is the symbol of tefillah. V'nikro har, the right hand created the mountain. The tefillah is what created, brought the person close to the mountain, which is the place where the Beis HaMikdash is, which is the symbol of secrets of Torah. Why? Al shem oimek hamusog. Again, a mountain represents something with great depth. The mountain is very deep from top to bottom, from the top going down. V'nikra Beis HaMikdash. It's called a Beis HaMikdash. Bechinas Kodesh. It's a house of holiness. Bechinas Reishis. Kodesh goes together with Reishis, the beginning. There's a pasuk that says, Kodesh Yisroel Hashem, Reishis Tvuasoi. So we see that Kodesh goes together with the beginning. V'chol zor lo yoichal Kodesh. There's a pasuk that says that anybody that's not worthy, that's not really pure, is not allowed to eat Kodesh, holy food, the Truma. That's reserved only for those with purity. This refers to the secrets of Torah, that the only ones that are zeicha to be able to benefit from them are those that are pure for Hashem. They've negated themselves, and they're reserved for Hashem, like the Kohanim, who didn't go to work. They didn't involve themselves in their own personal needs. They were busy with Hashem's needs. Ubeis HaMikdosh ubechinas Sisrei Araisa. Therefore, the term Beis HaMikdosh is a symbol of secrets of Torah. The place of Kodesh, the place where this pure, extra level of purity is to be found. We'll hold it over here for now. The next shir, we have just a little bit to do in this chapter, and then we're going to add something to this Torah, Mitzvah Shem, that's going to be very special. I believe, as of now,